John Brown's body lies a mouldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Welcome to War of the Rebellion, Stories of the Civil War. I am your host, Leon, and this is a reading of the regimental history Under the Maltese Cross, Antietam to Appomattox, The Loyal Uprising in Western Pennsylvania. 1861 to 1865 Campaigns, 155th Pennsylvania Regiment. Narrated by the rank and file. And we're picking up at the last company reminiscence. With the Colors. Reminiscence of Company K by Color Sergeant Thomas J. Marlin. It is not the purpose of the writer to give in historical sequence a story of Company K, 155th Regiment Pennsylvania Volunteers. The time is coming when the battles and incidents of our Civil War will no longer be told by campfires and in the home of men having personal knowledge of the battles, sieges, and fortunes of those days. To the writer, this seems sufficient excuse for these sketches, imperfect as they may be. In the spring and summer of 1862, the writer was at Glade Run Academy, Indiana County, Pennsylvania. Here, and at Dayton, a mile distant, more than 200 students were in attendance. On the 4th of July, 1862, a picnic was held on the campus, and later, the Reverend George W. Mecklen read from the pulpit of the Presbyterian Church to the large audience. Dispatches telling of the 7 days' battle and the retreat of the Union Army. Early in August, 9 of the students at Glade Run Academy enlisted. The enlistment of the students was largely the work of W.W. Caldwell, and afterward 2nd Lieutenant of Company K of the 155th Regiment. Risdon DeFord, a preacher of Pine Creek, Armstrong County, secured a number of recruits in his vicinity and received a commission as first lieutenant in the company. He was not warlike, but a good, quiet man, and returned to the ways of peace September 9, 1863. A few men enlisted in Company K at the instigation of D. Porter Marshall of Belknap, Armstrong County. Marshall was sergeant and became lieutenant and brevet major. He was a giant in size, and as good-humored as he was big physically. He was 6 feet 9 inches in height, and when his head rested in the shade of a shelter tent, his feet were in the surrounding country. I recall an incident of his army life when he attempted the union of 2 pairs of Zouave trousers to clothe himself, withal in which the effect was unique, but not conducive to discipline when he led his company to dress parade. David Brown was a student of Glade Run, a friend of the writer, enlisting at the same time. He was made first sergeant in the organization of the company, became second lieutenant in room of W.W. Caldwell, and resigned March 9, 1863. John Alexander Hastings Foster came to the company from Rural Valley, Armstrong County, and was the writer's messmate for several months. He was wounded severely in the leg July 2, 1863 at Gettysburg, and was promoted to 2nd Lieutenant in Company K, July 15, 1864. The enlisted men who formed Company K came together in Kittning, August 28 and 29, 1862, under command of Captain John A. Klein, who became Major of the Regiment, January 23, 1865. Major Klein was a brave, conscientious soldier, whose strong points were zeal and fidelity, a clean life and high courage. He was wounded 3 times during his service and was in command of the regiment at Five Forks and at the surrender at Appomattox. He was mustered out with the regiment. The writer will, at this point, choose a few names from the roll of Company K as types of the citizen soldier, and in doing this, he intends no disparagement to other companies in the regiment. Frederick Scheckler came into the company with Lieutenant DeFord's contingent from Pine Creek. He was over 6 feet in height, large boned, and lean of flesh with Roman nose and dark complexion. I could have laid my hand on him that day at North Anna River, when the Minnie smote his forehead and his true, brave soul passed on. Kosciusko G. Fleming was a country youth from Rural Valley. He was a quiet, pleasant, steady soldier. He was with me at Five Forks as color guard, and was close at my side when shot through the lungs. Fleming settled in Kansas after the war, where death came to him suddenly. It was at Five Forks where that courageous soul, Color Corporal Tom McCush of Company I, gave up his life. He had for a long time been identified with the color guard, and for some time carried the United States flag at my side. By order from headquarters, he turned in his flag and resumed his place as color guard. As we hurried through the thick underbrush into position in the rear of the Confederates, April 1, 1865, at Five Forks, he said to the writer, quote, "Sergeant, I would rather fight this evening than eat my supper," unquote. He was close at my side when shot through the head. And at the same moment, Color Corporal Fleming was shot through the lungs, and Color Corporal Henry M. Curry was also wounded. Of the five who were with the colors, Color Corporal Archie Ewer and the writer alone escaped harm that evening. Ewer and Curry were boys in looks and years, but trim, steadfast, and always to be counted on. Ephraim A. Calhoun was one of the students from Glade Run Academy who enlisted in Company K. The writer has not known a more courageous or determined character. With William McCullough, he was killed in the Battle of the Wilderness, May 5, 1864. The 155th, being in camp at Falmouth, Virginia, the writer was detailed in December 1862 to the Color Guard, the day before our movement began towards Fredericksburg. Frederick Scheckler, of whose death I have written, and George M. Smith, both of the Pioneer Corps of the regiment, were the only members of Company K, save the writer, who were in that waste of life known as the Battle of Fredericksburg, the rest of the company being detailed at Aquia Creek Landing. Fredericksburg. Colonel E. J. Allen led his regiment in that battle, his sword waving and his deep voice cheering them on, a heroic figure in a bloody and useless sacrifice. A sunken road, the side of which was crowned by a stone wall. Behind this wall, Barksdale and his Mississippians, their feet in the road, their guns resting on the wall. Such were the conditions that winter evening at the foot of Mary's Heights. It was the sunken road of O'Hane at Waterloo, brought forward a half century. In the Battle of Fredericksburg, the writer was in the rank behind and one file to the right of Color Sergeant Thomas Weissman, who carried the colors. His intrepid bearing in battle gave full proof that no mistake had been made in giving him the colors. Corporal Thomas C. Lawson, also over 6 feet in height, stood at Sergeant Weissman's right, and as Weissman fell, caught the flagstaff from his hand. Charles Bardeen, Corporal, Company F, and George W. Bratton, Corporal, Company E, and Frank Thompson, Company I, were color guards and fell mortally wounded at their posts. Sergeant Thomas C. Lawson, of Company H, carried the colors at Chancellorsville and barred of the way on the march to Gettysburg, when he became disabled. He rejoined the regiment on the 3rd or 4th day of July at Gettysburg, but went to his Company H, and aunt afterwards identified with the color guard. He is now practicing medicine in Jefferson County, Pennsylvania, at Brookville. Two men of Company K were left on the field at Chancellorsville, John A. Fleming and James W. Hayes. Fleming was instantly killed. Hayes, desperately wounded in mouth and neck, was picked up by the Confederates, returned to us, and made a fair recovery. At the time the above were wounded, our command received a terrible fire from a battery in the field near the Chancellorsville's house, and we were, for the most part, lying close to old Mother Earth. The first position of our corps, occupied at Gettysburg, was in the support of the right of our line of battle at Culp's Hill. In the afternoon, however, Our command was put in position in reserve on the left, near Little Round Top. About 4 p.m., the 3rd Corps, under command of General Sickles, was fiercely attacked by the enemy under Longstreet. Into this whirlwind of battle, the 1st Division of the 5th Corps had already been drawn, and had paid tribute to the fierce assault led by the Confederate General Hood. Our division, under General Ayers, was hurried onto the field to the relief of General Sickles' corps. Gettysburg. General G.K. Warren, chief engineer of the Army, who had from the summit of Little Round Top seen the enemy's forces and movement toward Little Round Top, ran down the slope and intercepted our brigade under General Weed, which had gone by the right flank towards the wheat field. Our 1st Division was halted and brought swiftly back to Little Round Top, just in time to meet the flushed and coffined foe as they came up aside of that rocky elevation. Here, Sergeant Foster of Company K was severely wounded in the leg. John Cowan of Company K was shot in the bowels and died as a result of the wound. Two others were wounded, Kirkpatrick and Hetrick. A little farther up, General S. H. Weed and General Strong Vincent were killed. Lieutenant Charles E. Hazlett, 5th United States Artillery, stooping over his friend General Weed, was also killed. And also Colonel Patrick H. O'Rourke, of the 140th New York. These brave officers came to their death at the hands of the sharpshooters in Devil's Den. Our line of troops were the first to occupy Little Round Top, a most important and strategic point. Weed's cannoneers stopped the enemy's advance and caused their retreat. The writer remembers visiting the Devil's Den on the 4th of July, and behind a large rock, he thinks, there were 4 bodies in gray, all shot in the head, said to have been the work of Pennsylvania bucktails. On the 3rd, whilst Pickett's charge and accompanying bombardment was in progress, a battery of steel pieces was planted where our regiment stood. Our guns had been silent for some time, and no doubt the enemy thought that their purpose had been accomplished and that artillery was practically silenced. The tremendous character of the firing may be imagined from the fact that it was distinctly heard in Indiana County, at my old home. The family heard it plainly, the distance not less than 150 miles. When out in the field before our view, Pickett's column started on the double quick. Their defiant yell was distinctly heard, and a little later, we heard the exultant cheer that told that Pickett's charge had failed and that the men who, quote, clutched and held that trembling hill, unquote, were equal to the occasion. Some days after leaving Gettysburg, Lieutenant Colonel Pearson rode down the line of the regiment and, taking the colors, gave them to the writer, who carried them during the remainder of our service. At Warrington Junction, Corporal August Schmuck of Company K, who had been wounded at Chancellorsville, returned from the hospital. He later became a captain of United States Colored Troops. On the 5th day of May, the Battle of the Wilderness was opened by Ayers' brigade. Closer and yet closer the enemy drew towards us. Their yell sounded very near at hand. The cries of the exultant rebels rang through the woods, and they burst upon us with yells and curses. Quote, "Throw down your guns! Surrender, you blank! Throw down your colors!" Unquote. These demands were lost on the writer, who was making a rapid and strenuous move to get, quote, out of the wilderness, unquote. At the very outset of my dash toward the rear, a comrade and I squeezed in between 2 small growths of timber in our hurry, and as I pressed against a comrade, he sank down, and at the same moment, I felt a splash of water on my clothing and, glancing down, saw that his canteen was in 2 pieces. The ball had struck his canteen and killed him, aimed probably at the rider, and were within a few feet of the colors at the time. A few moments later, the roar of artillery and the crashing of shells among the trees aided our withdrawal. The rider does not recall the time in which he felt in greater peril. Company K had 2 men killed and 4 wounded. Among the wounded was William F. Klein, a brother of the captain, a handsome young fellow who had a good record in the company as a soldier. The Battle of the Wilderness covered a period of 24 hours. Company Sketches. To resume reminiscence of Company K, the writer will here summarize the history of the students who enlisted with him. Calhoun was killed on the 5th of May in the Wilderness. Johnson died of wounds received at North Anna, May 25, 1864. McClure died in an ambulance near Falmouth, Virginia. McCluskey died of wounds received at Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 10, 1864. And Sergeant John A. Ritchie discharged for disability, March 29, 1863. Corporal Barrett was mustered out with the regiment. Corporal A.L. Wilson transferred to the Veteran Reserve Corps, July 1864, and Sergeant T.J. Marlin was discharged with the regiment, 1865. Three were killed or died of wounds. One died of fever in an ambulance. Of the remaining five, two became ministers. Two were in the medical profession, and the writer is unable to give the location of Spencer P. Barrett, who was a quiet, faithful, and much respected comrade. At North Anna, Sergeant Frederick Scheckler was killed instantly. He was standing close behind me and to my right. When the attack was repulsed, I saw him lying dead when I turned, and it was a shock. He had spoken to a comrade of his premonition of being killed. Corporal R.O. Clever, who was with others as well up towards the enemy's works in the charge of the 18th of June at Petersburg, fell shot through both thighs, but sprang to his feet and ran back to shelter. The distance from our starting point to the enemy's line was probably 35 rods. In this charge, Company K had 24 men, and 8 of these were killed and wounded. This number was probably average for each company, as there were 12 killed and 66 wounded in our regiment. I think there were but a few in excess of 200 men in the regiment. David Olinger was killed here. He was one of the Belknap squad, as with D.C. Kirkpatrick. I have already spoken of R.O. Clever, also one of the Belknap boys. Sergeant J.D. Armstrong, another of the Belknap comrades, was wounded slightly on the lip. Both these comrades were sergeants, and were models as to discipline and exemplary conduct. Samuel Reisman, a recruit who had been with the company 12 days, was shot in the leg. David Ruffner and David Wolfe were each shot in the leg, as was also a recruit, John Balsiger by name. The regiment in this charge was under fire less than 5 minutes. On July 2, 1864, the re-enlisted veterans and recruits of the 62nd Regiment Pennsylvania Volunteers were transferred to the 155th Regiment. Among these was 1st Lieutenant Ben Huey, who took command of Company K and became captain on the promotion of Captain Klein to major. Huey was well liked by the men of Company K. On the Weldon Railroad raid, John L. Ferrer of Company K, a musician, failed to keep up with the command and was made a prisoner. He was exchanged and was drowned on his way back to the regiment. He was one of the smallest men of the regiment. 5 men were missing from the 155th Regiment as a result of the Weldon Railroad raid. The regiment was in action March 25th near Hatcher's Run, the 5th Corps being in support of the 2nd. Colonel Ewing was severely wounded in the leg at this time. Colonel Pearson being in command of the brigade, Major Klein, although slightly wounded, assumed command of the regiment. George H. Clever and Samuel Whited were also wounded, the regimental loss being 2 killed and 30 wounded. 2 recruits of Company K were wounded. The 30th and 31st of March were full of interest and hard work, as we were endeavoring to form a junction with Sheridan's force, our corps having been designated to act with him. On the last day of April, our corps being in support of the cavalry, we were massed opposite an opening discovered by our scouts, who were riding everywhere in Confederate uniform. Here the writer first saw General Sheridan and General Custer. Surrounded by their staff officers, they made a brilliant martial spectacle. Sheridan looked what he was: overbearing, dominant, a warlord, interpolated from the Middle Ages to the 19th century. General Porter tells of a soldier shot through the neck as the rebel works were stormed, and with the blood spouting from the wound, fell to the ground. Sheridan shouted at him, quote, "Jump up, you're not much hurt," unquote. And the soldier sprang up, ran a few feet, and fell dead. The handsome General Custer, with his long, fair hair, splendid dress and tall, strong figure, looked the dashing cavalry officer than his record proves him to have been. Battle of Five Forks. Our regiment was in bivouac, kneeling and sitting in an expectant attitude, when a volley on our right flank brought us to our feet as one man. Color Corporals McCush, Fleming, Ewer, and Curry were with me around the colors, as a detachment of Confederates broke upon us, their flag waving within a few feet of our own. McCush fell dead. Fleming fell, shot through one lung. Curry, who had returned from hospital where he had gone from a wound received with the colors, was also wounded. And so the writer, actively supported by the remaining color guard, each supporting the other without question or mental reservation, conducted a rapid and successful movement into the woods behind us. This action on our part was approved, and endorsed by a hearty cooperation on the part of the regiment. The writer at this point picked up a naked Confederate sword which had doubtless been dropped by its owner when he was captured. There were about a dozen stands of colors, among them those of the 155th. The regiment was for a short time represented by Sergeant W.D. Porter of Company K and the writer. As the command, full of the spirit of victory, came up, General Warren, riding his familiar gray horse, placed himself in front and we moved forward to a crest of rising ground. Robert Brewster of Company K was killed. Corporal Fleming of Company K, color guard, and five others of the company were badly wounded. The regimental loss was about 30. At the close of the victorious battle, General Warren was removed from command by General Sheridan. General Grant, who had a deep personal dislike for General Warren, which General Horace Porter says was never accounted for, had sent word to General Sheridan before this battle that if he thought best he could remove General Warren. Sheridan waited until the battle was fought and won, and then on the excuse that Warren had not moved as soon as he was ordered, removed him from command. Sheridan certainly knew of the difficult country in which the hard-worked infantry did their job so well. He also knew that the entire right of the enemy had been utterly broken, killed, wounded, and captured by the column led by Warren. It was said at the time of General Warren's death in 1882 in press notices that he died of a broken heart. Let us hope that in the undiscovered country, these men know each other. Appomattox. The 155th Regiment was now ordered on the skirmish line at Appomattox under command of Major John A. Klein, and advanced perhaps a mile when met by a Union and a Confederate officer, one of whom bore a flag of truce. Major George M. Laughlin, ADC, staff of General Griffin, commanding the corps, delivered the orders of the corps commander to each regimental commander to cease firing. When halted, Appomattox Courthouse was perhaps 20 or 30 rods in front of the center of the regiment. Thus it came about that the 155th Regiment was on the skirmish line at Appomattox, and through this line the flag of truce came. Also the brigade in which we were serving received the surrender of Lee's army. Homeward March. On the return march, what a tramp it was to Washington! And how much of the way was gone over again and again! What battles had been fought! What a wilderness of graves flanked and buttressed the way! What a new and sinister meaning was given to the forests and streams that lay between. The Potomac, Bull Run, Rappahannock, Rapidan, North Anna, Mattapony, and the James. We have camped by all of these streams, and comrades, if you will close your eyes and dream a little as you hear the rush of the Rappahannock or Rapidan, and the soughing of the wind in the cedar and the pine, you are perhaps ready to say that there were some things half pleasant in your army life. All this leads me to say that marching on our return through Hanover, Fredericksburg, and Fairfax, we camped at last on Arlington Heights about 4 miles from Washington. We had marched from Richmond to this point in about 1 week. The march was rapid and exhaustive. The Grand Review in Washington occurred on May 23rd. It was a long, trying march, and the veterans felt willing to dispense with this review. We had enjoyed so many of them. Yet this review was a fitting climax. The Pennsylvania Avenue was a mass of men, women, and children to the limit of the pavements. Housetops, balconies, porches, doors, windows, platforms. Everywhere a roaring, cheering mass of humanity in gala costume. With flags and banners in such thick profusion that the waving folds of old glory kissed each other on every hand. The day was beautiful, the air electric with enthusiasm, and through this exalted and electrifying spirit of the nation's welcome, there poured the rhythmic beat, the steady, continuous tramp, tramp of the soldiers, as by company front they moved onward. With bright and glistening arms, their tattered flags and faded clothing telling their story, carrying themselves with somewhat of that proud and bearing which marked the Roman soldier. So these armies came to the capital of the nation bearing the symbol of law and order. Quote, not a stripe erased, not a single star obscured. Unquote. June 3rd, we marched to Washington to take train for home. The 32nd Regiment Massachusetts Volunteers, long companions in brigade camp and in battle, escorted the 155th to the end of the Long Bridge, where they opened ranks, and as we marched through, these tried comrades presented arms and gave us three hearty farewell cheers. Record enrollment, casualties, etc. of Company K. Killed and died of wounds. Sergeant Frederick Scheckler, killed at North Anna River, Virginia, May 23, 1864. Private John Q.A. Barrett, died June 3, 1864, of wounds received at Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 12, 1864. Private Robert Brewster, killed at Five Forks, Virginia, April 1, 1865. Private John Cowan, killed at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 2, 1863. Private John A. Fleming, killed at Chancellorsville, Virginia, May 3, 1863. Private Calvin Gray, killed at Peebles Farm, September 30, 1864. Private Thomas Hosack, killed at Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 8, 1864. Private William J. Johnson, died July 11, 1864, of wounds received at North Anna River, May 25, 1864. Private David L. McCloskey, died June 15, 1864, of wounds received at Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 10, 1864. Private David Olinger, killed at Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Missing in action. Private Ephraim A. Calhoun, in Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private William McCullough, in Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Died of disease. Corporal William E. McClure, killed near Falmouth, Virginia, November 20, 1862. Drummer James A. Galbraith, near Falmouth, Virginia, March 2, 1863. Drummer John L. Ferrer, drowned April 18, 1865. Private Reuben Barnhart, died at Washington, D.C., July 5, 1864. Private John Carney, died March 4, 1863. Private Jacob Croyle, died at Stoneman Switch, Virginia, December 4, 1863. Private John Campbell, died at Fredericksburg, Virginia, November 9, 1863. Private Benjamin B. Eaton, died at Aquia Creek, Virginia, January 20, 1863. Private Daniel Hauser, died at Stoneman Switch, Virginia, January 12, 1863. Private William B. Hayes, died at Fredericksburg, Virginia, November 19, 1862. Private Isaac L. Moore, died at Fredericksburg, Virginia, November 15, 1862. Private David Marshall, died at Camp Humphreys, Virginia, February 11, 1863. Private Jonathan Rahm, died in hospital while in 62nd Pennsylvania Volunteers. Private Simon Schreckengost, Frederick, Maryland, December 7, 1862. Private George Scheckler, died at Stoneman Switch, Virginia, February 5, 1863. Private George W. Thompson, died at Washington, D.C., November 29, 1863. Private Andrew M. Wolfe, died at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, January 1865. Private Benjamin Thompson, missing from hospital, December 1864. Wounded. Captain John A. Klein, Chancellorsville, May 3, 1863. Bethesda Church, June 3, 1864. Hatcher's Run, March 25, 1865. All slight. Lieutenant John H. A. H. Foster, Gettysburg, July 2, 1863. First Sergeant D. B. Kirkpatrick, Gettysburg, July 2, 1863. Slight. Sergeant John D. Armstrong, Petersburg, June 18, 1864. Slight. Color Sergeant Thomas J. Marlin, Petersburg, June 18, 1864. Sergeant Robert O'Clever, Petersburg, June 18, 1864, severe. Corporal Robert P. Shields, Gettysburg, July 2, 1863. Corporal John C. Russell, Laurel Hill, May 11, 1864. Corporal Samson Schreckengost, Laurel Hill, May 10, 1864. Corporal August Schmuck, Chancellorsville, May 3, 1863. Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Color Corporal Kosciusko J. E. Fleming, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865, severe. Corporal George A. Serene, North Anna River, Virginia, May 23, 1864. Private John Adams, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private John Bullseiger, Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private William Buckley, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private William Christman, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private William F. Klein, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private George W. Collins, Quaker Road, Virginia, March 29, 1865. Private Jewel J. Crawford, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 10, 1864. Peebles Farm, Virginia, September 30, 1864. Private William Elder, Bethesda Church, Virginia, June 3, 1864, with 62nd Pennsylvania Volunteers. Private Peter C. Hetrick, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 3, 1863. Private James R. Henderson, North Anna River, Virginia, May 25, 1864. Private James W. Hayes, Chancellorsville, Virginia, May 3, 1863. Private James C. Jackson, Peebles Farm, Virginia, September 30, 1864. Private George Cribbs, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private Thomas Kiskaden, Peebles Farm, Virginia, September 30, 1864. Private Robert L. McGarry, Bethesda Church, Virginia, June 3, 1864. Petersburg, Virginia, June 19, 1864, both slight. Private John Pettigrew, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 8, 1864. Private William Royal, Quaker Road, Virginia, March 29, 1865. Private Samuel D. Reisman, Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private William H. Reisman, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private David H. Ruffner, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 10, 1864, slight. Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private Patrick Rowan, Peebles Farm, Virginia, September 30, 1864. Private Charles M. Smith, North Anna River, Virginia, May 23, 1864. Private John Showaker, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private Martin V.B. Spruill, Gravelly Run, Virginia, March 31, 1865. Private John A. Troop, Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private William Whited, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 10, 1864, slight. Private William Wells, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 10, 1864. Private David Wolfe, Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private Samuel Whited, Hatcher's Run, Virginia, March 25, 1865, slight. Recapitulation. Total enrollment, 145. Killed and died of wounds, 12. Died of disease, 18. Discharged on account of wounds and disabilities, 35. Transferred to Veteran Reserve Corps, 7. Transferred to other organizations, 15. Mustered out at expiration of term, 4. Deserted, 2. Never joined company, 5. Mustered out with regiment, 47. Original members mustered out, 36. Wounded in action, 41. And that is the end of Company K's history. And if you're a Patreon member, then you most certainly know that we're working our way through the independent and separate Company K history, which goes into much greater detail than what we just read. In fact, we haven't gotten much past the Battle of Antietam in that section so far, and it gives a great glimpse into the company itself was formed before it joined the regiment of the 155th, and then, of course, the more interesting stories itself of the 155th that aren't covered so much into this because they don't have enough room for it. And so it's one of the more interesting parts of the side content that I'm getting to read, along with Colonel Allen's poetry and some of the other writings that he's done. I am lucky enough that Colonel Allen was able to come out to where I live, that is the state of Washington, and have been able to visit some of the places that he has been and stand where he has stood, which was really unique. I'm probably not going to get to do that anywhere else, being in my state so far west and removed from actual Civil War battlefields. So that was quite nice to find out and to deal with. So if you want to read, if you want to listen to some of his poetry, I have that posted on my YouTube channel with its own separate playlist. I just uploaded another video for him, and that poem is Fallen Comrade by Colonel Edward J. Allen, and he's got a couple on there. I have just a few more of his works to read. We'll be starting off next week's episode with contributed articles by surviving comrades, battles, sieges, and camp life. Now, Colonel Edward J. Allen wrote The Colonel's Tribute, which is a shortened version of another piece that I had read and published and posted onto my YouTube channel titled Civil War Prose on Slavery by Colonel Edward J. Allen, which is his full treatise on the reason why the men in the regiment signed up for the war. It's 36 minutes long, considerably longer than the shortened version of the tribute that they put into the history, but you will see that it's pretty similar. And then another poem titled The Veteran by Colonel Edward J. Allen, and of course, a story that was written in a newspaper clipping that I was able to find that's about him and General McClellan. Some of you, that's how you found my channel, is when that kind of blew up, comparatively speaking to the dozens of views that I have. So if you want to learn more about him, he has his own Wikipedia page, but also he has all of that established work on my YouTube channel that I was able to read, courtesy of the University of Pittsburgh. And with that, if you want to catch up on our company history of Company K, which is its own actual company history book, it's about 240 pages long, and we're working our way through it, one chapter at a time, you can sign up for Patreon. It's only a dollar, because I feel like that's good enough. I have other tiers, but that's like the bare minimum, I think, that is, especially in times such as these. So if you want to catch up on there, we've got about 5 episodes set up so far with just Company K, which have been pretty good. It's about 2.5 hours of content. And separately, I've got some more streamed content from War of Rights. Just had a update called the Luminescence Update, where the developers reworked and overhauled the graphical quality of the game. So if you watch older videos or some of the poetry videos that I've done, which I use recordings from that game, video recordings, to superimpose poetry over the top of, you might see a graphical difference, which is really cool. And of course, they have some other updates that they're working on to include cavalry in the game and some other things. But anyway, I might say that we've got quite a lot of new listeners lately. So if you do like my podcast, please, by all means, you know, the greatest way for my podcast channel to grow is for you just to recommend it. So if you enjoy it and you're listening and you know someone who might also like the podcast, please, by all means, give me a recommendation to all of your Civil War friends. I quite enjoy doing this. It's very fun. And if you're listening to me on any popular podcasting apps, whether it's Apple or Amazon or Podbean or whatever, please leave a review. Give me the 5 stars on Apple or a review on Amazon or Google Podcasting. Just every little bit helps and kind of like helps bring my channel out of the shadows so people can find it. So with that, my friends, thank you for listening. I will catch you next week. Have a fantastic weekend and stay safe, especially if you are in Florida, my dear friends. Please stay safe. I'm thinking about you guys down there, and I hope you stay safe, all right? If you want to check out more additional content, especially the pictures that are in each of these chapters, especially all of these kind of company sketches, they're just nothing but photos of the guys who were in it. Go ahead and check it out. I will post another page for Company K, and it'll have all of the pictures of all of the men that are talked about in this, or at least all the ones that they included in the history. And you can go to rebellionstories.com, rebellionstories.com. And that's where like all of my content is put into one area so that it's easy for you to find. So you can always go to my website and it'll always have everything there for you to look at. And of course, there it'll take you to my YouTube channel or, you know, my merch store or wherever. Or if you're coming over from Facebook or something, by all means, give me a like and a share. But with that, stay safe. I'll see you guys later.
Old John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. John Brown was a hero, undaunted, true, and brave. And Kansas knew his valor when he fought her rights to save. And now, though the grass grows green above his grave, his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. He captured Harper's Ferry with his 19 men so few, and frightened old Virginny till she trembled through and through. They hung him for a traitor, themselves a traitorous crew, but his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For his soul marching on. John Brown was John the Baptist of the Christ we are to see. Christ who of the bondman shall the liberator be. And soon throughout the sunny south the slaves shall all be free, for his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For his soul is marching on. That he heralded, he looked from heaven to view on the army of the Union with its flag red, white, and blue. and heaven shall sing with anthems, or the deed they mean to do, for a soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For a soul is marching on. Ye soldiers of freedom, then strike while strike ye may. The death blow of oppression in a better time and way. The dawn of old John Brown has brightened in the day, and his soul is marching on.